open this door with the click of a mouse. Beyond it is a world of sound, thought, and opinion. In-depth discussions of television's greatest blending of science, superstition, imagination. And you're invited along. For the next 30 minutes, we'll be talking Twilight Zone.
And good evening, and as we do on alternating Tuesdays at this time, we talk Twilight Zone with the usual suspects, Bobby and Kitty and Ken. Sorry, I should have done that ladies first. Here's your host, Bobby Neer. Good evening, Bob.
Good evening to you, Dan. Well, like you said, 2 weeks ago, we began the rather long task of reviewing all 156 episodes of The Twilight Zone. We began where else but at the beginning. And we are here today to continue with episode number two, which is called One for the Angels. And Kitty will give her summary of that episode and give her opinion of it. And we also have an email to read from a very loyal listener. So let's get started right away. We got a lot to do. Kitty, take it away.
Okay. Well, this particular episode is, I consider it to be one of the more kind of lighthearted episodes. It starts out where you see a very likable guy selling his stuff on the street. He's just your typical peddler. We then hear the narrator saying that we're going to, or rather, he is going to get an unexpected visitor by the name of Death. And then you see this unassuming man dressed in black, actually dressed in a suit. You know, it's kind of interesting because usually when we think of Death, we tend to think of the Grim Reaper. And yet here it is, Mr. Death is just dressed like any other average guy for the most part. And he pays this gentleman a visit. I can't remember what his character's name is. Do you, Bob?
Isn't it, it was on the tip of my tongue earlier today, Ken?
It's played by Ed Wynn.
Well, I know the actor, yeah.
Yeah. So,
wasn't
anyway.
It Lou or something? Lou Bookman or something?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Lou, that's
yeah.
it. His name
Lewis
is Lou.
Bookman.
Yeah, Lewis Bookman, yeah.
And he is very popular with the children on his street. He doesn't have any, it's established, he doesn't have any family, so these kids are kind of like his surrogate kids, and he gives them things. And he's especially fond of one little girl, and he goes up to his room, and Mr. Death pays him a visit and basically tells him that he's going to die that night, and it's going to be in his sleep with a, you know, he's just going to have a heart attack in his sleep, and he'll die. It's his time. And, well, as anybody can imagine, Lou doesn't take this sitting down. He doesn't want to die. And so Mr. Death says, well, there are some, you can appeal on extenuating circumstances. And so he basically gives him the excuse that he wants to make a big pitch, one for the angels. He always wanted to do that. And so he agrees to it. In the meantime, the little girl has come, and she doesn't see the man in the room with Lou. But then after she leaves, Death asks him when they can expect this pitch, and he says, oh, sometime soon, and then he runs out of the room and tries to escape. He wants to escape Death, but Death tells him that, you know, you double-cross us, and it's not good for you. And the scene basically ends where he's out front, and the little girl ends up getting hit by a car. And all of a sudden, she can see Mr. Death. And so Death basically explains to Lou that if he doesn't go, somebody has to go in his place. And so Lou does not like this very much. So he says, basically, Mr. Death says, after midnight, the little girl has to come with him. Well, it's about quarter to midnight, and Lou is out on the street, and Mr. Death comes, and he says, well, you got time, so why don't you look at some of the stuff that I have? And so Lou makes this pitch with all of the stuff that he has, and he manages to distract Death long enough so that he forgets about the little girl. And so Lou ends up walking off with him. And I know that Bob and Ken don't really like this episode very much, but I do.
I rated it a 4. I said it was good. I gave it.
Oh, you did like it. Okay.
Well, I mean, it's somewhat. I have plenty of complaints. Don't worry.
Okay. But I liked it. I've always enjoyed watching it whenever I've seen it on the marathons. I like the interaction between Lou and the kids, and I think Lou comes across as very human because, you know, who wouldn't have the same reaction that he has? I mean, there's kind of an old saying, you know, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody particularly wants to die first. And, you know, and really, when you think about it, he doesn't appear to be sick in the slightest bit. I mean, he seems to be doing just fine, so it's like, why would he want to cash in his chips at this point when he feels fine? And I liked the interaction between him and the little girl. I thought the little girl was very sweet. She you know, you kind of get the impression she's almost kind of like a surrogate grandchild to him when he's talking to her. And I just liked it, and I liked it how at the end that he distracts Death. And yes, on the one hand, it seems silly that Death could be distracted, but by the same token, his bargain with Mr. Death was that he wanted to make a pitch, that was one for the angels. And in the end, he succeeded in doing it. So he got his unfinished business done. And I liked it. I gave it an excellent rating. I thought it was cute, and it's like I said, it's one I've never minded watching when I see it on the marathons that the Sci-Fi Channel does. What do you think, Bob?
Okay, well, let me just say one thing about that before you read our email about that whole scenario. What a lot of baloney. I mean, that is such a crock, all of that. I'll explain that later. Read the email from one of our listeners, and then let's hear how much Ken loves it. Let's do the email first.
Okay, well, Phil says, One for the Angels is a very poignant story about an elderly salesman with no family of his own who takes it upon himself to save a little girl from his neighborhood. I found it a wonderful episode and enjoyed it. Edwin was marvelous as the elderly salesman who knows he is not going to be around a whole lot longer and tries to save an innocent young girl from an early death by trying to make a deal with Mr. Death, played in a non-threatening way by Murray Hamilton. I enjoyed their byplay throughout the story. The win character wins, but he also loses. But I think he was aware that was the price he had to pay. And that is from Phil.
Thank you very much, Phil. Okay, Ken, attack.
Well, for those who are listening on the radio and for those on our group, I'm not going to be a nice guy with this series and give every single rating, you know, good, excellent, or classic. I'm just going to give the rating of what I feel. And I'm sorry, guys, on this one, it stinks. I gave it a 1 poor rating only. I didn't give it a 0 lousy rating because there's a little girl named Maggie in the episode, and I liked her. So I'm going to give a 1 rating just for that. But the rest of the story is just too cheesy. It's too pleasant. The Twilight Zone, to me, is not pleasant. The Twilight Zone is science fiction. It's unfamiliar. It's extraordinary. It's unusual. It's creepy. And this story is just the kind of like, Ed Wynn, what in the world is he doing in the Twilight Zone? Now, you can make another story with him, but not this one. He's smiling. He's jolly. I'm not tuning in to see a jolly fat guy. He reminds me of that guy he reminds me of the movie Mary Poppins. He played a professor in there. He just told jokes and laughing and that whole thing. And when I saw this, I said, oh, my God, is this going to be the jolly man that I'm watching through the whole story? And that's what he is. And the other problem I had with it was Mr. Death. you know, where did he get the money to buy that nice suit and tie, combed hair, and he's not
Depp
mean
at all.
Mr. Depp
doesn't need any money.
The twist at the end, you know, he saves the girl's life. I mean, we're not tuning in to see Superman episode where, you know, at the last moment, you know, the man saves the girl in distress. We're tuning in to see what bizarre turn of events is going on. Now, also, and the last complaint I have is this is number two episode in the series. You got to start off with the best of what you've got, at least the first five episodes. Come out strong, you know, hit a home run. Don't, and with, and episode one was a good start. You know, it's creepy. The end was a little let down. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. This one was a dud. You can't have number two with just a jolly fat guy talking to a nice Mr. Death in a clean suit and a small little girl, you know, playing around, and then there's a pitch. The whole thing is just sappy. I'm sorry, guys. This is, you know, if I'm going to watch a Twilight Zone marathon, and I'm going to give it a 12 to 15 hour, you know, I'm going to watch them all, and this one comes up, I'm going to fall asleep.
Well, I guess you're saying it was a little too much like Little House on the Prairie rather than rather than Gunsmoke, something like that.
Go ahead, Bob.
This was not Little House on the Prairie.
Go ahead,
well, I'm
Bob.
Just saying, it's more a family drama than it is. Let me just say this in fairness to Ed Wynn. He was capable of a lot of things, not just comedy. He was also very memorable in the original version of The Diary of Anne Frank. And that was obviously a very serious role. So I don't particularly have a problem with him being in the story. I have a lot of problems with the fact that things don't look the way you expect them to look. For instance, I never heard of Death giving anybody time to pack and get ready to go. That's hard to believe, that Death wouldn't just come. I mean, Kitty says, well, he tells them, you know, you're going to die in your sleep, and that's it, and you're out of here, and it's over. But instead, somehow, he gets to think about it for half an hour. So that's hard to believe. I've known a lot of people who aren't around anymore, as does everybody, and I don't believe that they were given any options to consider whether they wanted to go or not.
Well, so that's why it's called the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, well, that's not what Ken just said. Ken says it's not like the Twilight Zone. You're saying that Ken says it's not creepy enough, and you're saying, well, you got to throw disbelief out the window because it is the Twilight Zone. So it can't be both.
Precisely. I mean, that's what makes the Twilight Zone so great, is that the impossible becomes the possible.
I know, but I still don't believe for 1 minute. I think it was Phil who said that Mr. Death is there, played by Murray Hamilton, in a very non-threatening way. And that bothered me. I thought he was too non-threatening. Ken, didn't you find that he was just a little too mild?
I disagreed.
Times?
I didn't find him non-threatening. I did
really?
Find him threatening. Yes. Remember the part where Edwin, or rather Lou, runs out of his apartment and Death keeps showing up in the corridor and keeps telling him, you're going to be very sorry.
I know, but it's threatening to me means he just goes in there and says, look, I got other things to do. You're coming with me, and that's all there is to it. Can't help me out here.
He smiles a couple times, and then how about the look on his face when Bookman gives him the pitch? He's got a bewildered look on his face. I mean, what is this?
All right, listen, it's break time for us. We'll continue this on the other side of the break. Dan?
Thank you, Bob, and you are so right. Back with more Talking Twilight Zone on Sharevision Radio.
Hi, everyone. I'm Susan McCrae, host of Getting to Know You. On the next show, I pay tribute to the last of the great arrangers who wrote regularly for Frank Sinatra. Please join me Tuesday when I pay tribute to the great arranger, composer, Billy May on Getting to Know You. His career started with the great Charlie Barnett Orchestra, to Glenn Miller, to to Les Brown, to NBC, to Capitol Records, and of course, his great arrangements for Frank Sinatra, Nat King Cole, and numerous other wonderful singers. Tune in and hear the music and get to know who the man was. Billy May, 6:30 p.m. Pacific, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, right here on KSAV.org. Share a Vision Radio Network. We're in the air everywhere.
And that Billy May music sounds great. That'll be coming up right after we talk some more Twilight Zone. Here's Bob.
Okay, let me just say this. First of all, let me give you a sneak preview for 2 weeks from tonight. We have the next two episodes of the series. I say two because normally we do one show per radio program. But the next two episodes, numbers 3 and 4, are so lousy and got so little response from everybody. Nobody seemed to like it. I know Ken didn't like either one of them. I didn't like either one of them. So I'm not sure that there's enough to discuss on the next program to do one. So we may do both of them. One of them, the next one is Mr. Denton on Doomsday, one of the worst westerns ever written. And the other is the 16mm Shrine. And they're both pretty bad, right, Ken?
Oh, I'm groaning.
He's already moaning about it.
Well, I don't think the third one's that bad.
All right, well, we'll see. We'll just play it by ear and see how it goes. We'll see how it goes, and if we can just do one the entire show, we will. We'll just have to wait and see. I just don't think that... I don't know how much whining anybody can take over that. That's 2 weeks from tonight on Talking Twilight Zone. Right now, let me give you my bottom line about this episode. This is the thing that bothers me the most. At the end of the episode, Brooklyn comes off as a hero. He is no hero. Because this little girl, this child, would not be in the street dying if it wasn't for the fact that he refused to go. I mean, where is he a hero in this story? What is to feel good about? I'm thinking to myself, you know what? If you weren't such a cantankerous old goat, and you had just realized that you're an old man and it's time to go, then there wouldn't be a child's life on the line. Instead, he gets a chance to do this ridiculous pitching, and I don't believe for 1 minute that Mr. Death would buy into any of that. And he walks away with him at the end, and he is an absolute hero when it was his fault in the first time. Don't you agree with that, Ken?
Yes. The ending, when you have a letdown at the end, you go, well, what was the main theme or the main point of the story? Was it that Bookman saved the life of the girl? I mean, what's going on?
But he put her in danger in the first place.
Yeah, right. And just one bottom line point from me too, Bob, is the key to the Twilight Zone and all the episodes, and for the long-lasting endurance it has for all the fans around the world, is that you want to watch it again and again and again, and maybe 10 years from now, I'll still be watching again and again and again.
Right.
Well, I'm sorry that this episode, One for the Angels, I do not want to watch it again because I have no desire. And that's why I gave it the poor rating. It has no interest for me, no intrigue, no bizarre thing to it, if you know what I mean. That's the key. You got to get me back to watch it again. I've seen Where Is Everybody maybe 5 times, and there's countless others we'll talk about, you know, in the future that I don't mind seeing it again and again. You know what I mean?
I agree with that entirely. I hear that we have a phone call. So, Dan, you want to put that person through?
There you go, Bob. Lynn is on here.
Hi, Lynn. How you doing?
Hi.
Hi.
Let's hear from you on this.
I'm sorry?
Let's hear from you.
Is this Lynn?
Yeah, I hear you.
What do you have to say about the episode?
Hi, how you guys doing?
Fine.
Great.
We're great. What do you think of the episode?
Oh, I'm with you, Kitty, all the way. I'm with you, Kitty,
thank you.
All the way. I mean, this is
a
one of my very favorite episodes. Oh, I thought Ed Wynn was great as Lou Bookman. Murray Hamilton as Mr. Death. They played the roles to perfection. I felt so sorry for Bookman because there really was no reason, in my opinion, for him to die. He said he was healthy. He enjoyed his life. Didn't know why he had to go. And, of course, he tried to fool Mr. Death by making a bargain he didn't intend to keep, and that's pretty impossible and very risky, and Lou found that out when he eventually made the ultimate effort with his pitch for the Angels and the ultimate sacrifice of dying to save the little girl he adored so much. It worked, but at least at the end, he was assured that he was going up there. As Mr. Death said, he made it. But my only question is, as Ken said, where does an angel get the money to buy all those items he bought from Lou? And what's he going to do with them? Only in the zone does an angel get to carry cash. But I love this episode, and to me, it's great. So I'm with you all the way on this one. I agree with some of Bobby's points. I agree with some of Ken's points. But I just love this episode.
Well, wait a minute. I have to take exception to something there at the beginning, which is that this idea that Bookman is perfectly happy-go-lucky, he's a happy man, and he doesn't want to die. Well, isn't that true of everybody, unless you're committing suicide? I mean, I guess he doesn't want to go, but so what is unusual about that?
Well, he said, I'm happy, I'm healthy, he loved his life, he loved his
I know a lot of people like that, so...
But why should he have to die if he's not
ready? Yeah, I mean, it's
ready?
Not like he's got a fatal disease or something like that.
Exactly.
Well, I won't name names, but I know a lot of people who are perfectly happy who aren't around anymore. So I don't know about that.
Well, I don't see any reason why he had to die. I mean, he didn't have any reason. He was happy. He seemed very happy.
He was an old man, and it was his time. Isn't that right, Ken? Did you think it was just his time?
He was 70 years old.
So
not even
Lynn,
70. He was going to be 70. That's not old.
Hey, Lynn, don't you want to be scared by the Twilight
standard.
Zone, or do you want to be happy?
Well, Ken,
I
got news
happy.
For you. There are not every single episode ends with a creepy or scary ending. I mean, did
I
you
agree.
Ever see the one about Santa Claus?
Oh,
well,
I hate that one,
you
too. Know.
Oh.
I hate to tell you, I don't like that.
But what is your reaction at the end, Lynn? Are you happy?
Well, I was happy that he saved the little girl's life. I mean, he had no choice. He was going on 70. She was only 8. So he saved her life, and he knew he was going up to heaven. So he said, okay, I'm going to go as long as I know I'm going somewhere where I'm going. And he even took his suitcase with him. And he figured, hey, you never know who's going to need something up there. You know? So he saved a little girl's life.
I thought that was kind of cute.
Yeah.
And then will you grant me this, what I said earlier, which is the fact that none of this would have happened if Bookman had just agreed to go. The girl would not have been in danger to begin with.
Yes,
let me
I
start
agree.
At the, I know,
I
know what you're going to say. We wouldn't
know.
Have had a story then.
Yes, but
I understand Bob,
I agree with you on that. But by the same token, if Death showed up at your door and calmly told you that you were going to die at midnight,
right.
Wouldn't
and
you try
you know
to get
that
out
that
of it somehow?
So in other words, if he tells you that he's going to take your next-door neighbor instead, that's okay with you. You just
well,
tell him, go next door and take that guy. Leave me alone.
An older person.
He didn't tell
he
him that until
person.
After the fact, though.
After the fact?
Right. And why did he have to take a child? Why couldn't he take an older person, another older person?
There wasn't anybody. Lou Bookman was the oldest person in the neighborhood.
Well,
there were all kids outside.
The other older people in the neighborhood. I mean, he couldn't have been the only old person in the neighborhood.
Well, I just think it's a feel-good ending. It's very nice. He walks away. And the only feeling I had at the end was, isn't this sweet? The girl gets saved, and he goes. But if at the very beginning he said, oh, well, I was hoping to stay longer than 70, but when you got to go, you got to go. You know, the old saying.
That's
and
true.
He would have just
That's
walked
true.
Away, and that would have been it. That would have been different. But because he walks away at the end the same way he could have walked away at the beginning, it doesn't do anything for me. Now, I hate to interrupt, but let me just ask Ken this, because he made a big deal of this in his review. He hasn't talked about it tonight. Ken, you said you don't like the placement of this episode. You wouldn't have minded if it had been later on. So what would you have rather seen as the second episode of the series? Of the ones we've done at the group so far, is there another one that comes to mind?
What you need. Remember that one?
Yeah, sure.
That
How about The Lonely? I know you like that one.
That was close to the beginning.
Yeah, but
timing
I mean, it
up at last.
Did you want one to be more science fiction-y for the second one? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. After I watched the episode, Kitty and Lynn, I want to be shaking in my boots. I don't want a smile on my face and turn the TV off. I'm watching a science fiction program.
Yes,
Were
but
you
not every science fiction program leaves you shaking. I mean, even Star Trek had happy endings on their shows at the end of 60 minutes.
Exactly, exactly.
But look, there's
exactly
plenty of
right.
comedies, there's plenty of dramas, there's plenty of westerns, there's plenty of soap operas, and there's just a few of science fiction. So when I'm devoting my time for science fiction, you got to scare me.
Well,
but
why
I think that's what makes this
take,
show
Maggie's
so brilliant
mother, Maggie's
because Rod Serling
like
put all of that together.
Well, let me just say
this. Was able to bring it into science fiction. I mean, let's face it. If you tune into a soap opera, chances are you're probably not going. Well, maybe in today's world because they like to shock. But back in the 50s, chances are you wouldn't have seen Mr. Death knocking on the door of somebody on, say, All My Children. You know, saying, "I'm sorry, but your time is up at midnight tonight." I mean, you just wouldn't see that. I mean, this is something you didn't see.
Let me just interject here. Let's say this in defense of the series. It's only the second show, and at this point, if you're there in 1959 and you're watching, which I happen to have been, and you're old enough to know what you're watching, we didn't know what we were watching then. It was a new series. So I don't know. What is the Twilight Zone? Today, we know. Your perspective is different because now we've seen them all. But back then, I was looking at it going, I don't know what this series is. The first show was about a guy who thought he was all alone, only he really wasn't. And now we're here with this story. Maybe it is just a heartwarming little family drama. Maybe there aren't any really reasons to be terrified
the
way Ken wants to be. So from that perspective, when the show is new, I don't know that it bothers me because I can't really tell that. But today, with this perspective, I have to say I think Ken is right. It's a little early to be in this kind of a story. It's a little bit too heartwarming. It should have been moved a little ways down. I called it good because I don't think there's really anything to dislike about it. The problem is I don't think there's anything really to be thrilled about it. And that's where I line up with Ken. All right, well, we're just about out of time. Lynn, thanks very much for calling if you're still there. Well, I guess not.
Okay, well, thanks, guys, for letting me chime in again.
All right, we'll see you next time.
Bye.
All right, thanks, everybody, and we'll be back in 2 weeks. And we'll take two of Ken's most favorite episodes. It should be fascinating. All right, Dan, I think we just about had it.
Well, thank you very much, folks. Another interesting and provocative program. See you in 2 weeks. Talking Twilight Zone on Sheravision Radio.